And of course, we, as always, we try to give some updates on Wednesday night about the missions, and we'll try to mention that more and more on other services too, what's going on, the special outreaches and everything. About 21 different missionaries we're supporting now, and we pray God bless and be able to do more in the days to come. If you can stand as we read the scripture, Acts chapter 8, beginning verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humility, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. That's a good key. That's what we need to do for the Lord. Amen. He opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And that's where we need to be, in the scriptures. Amen. At the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this time you've given us, Lord. Pray, God, you just bless your word. Thank you, God, for good move of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our church. Lord, thank you, God, for blessing and increasing and taking care of the needs. And we thank you, Lord, for protecting missionaries and helping them, Lord, to continue to get the gospel out. And Lord, we pray, God, you just continue to meet each need, Lord, and the folks in our church. And God, touch physically, Lord, and touch spiritually most of all. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished. For it's in the love of the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage here, of course, a familiar story, and I've got a message on the heart that I've been working on for a while and been thinking about, and I was trying to find a text, and it was hard for me to find a text to actually somewhere to start with this message, to tell you the truth. I wanted to preach to you about who is the biblical Christ, who is Jesus, and my title is going to be, I Know Who Jesus Is. Amen. I know who Jesus is. And the reason I was having a problem where to start is because he's from the beginning to the end. Amen. Amen. I mean, you can just about start anywhere, praise God, and preach about Jesus and tell folks about Jesus Christ. And I begin to think, I need to find somewhere to start with this thing. I mean, I could open up about anywhere, amen, and start talking to you and preaching to you, hallelujah, about Jesus this morning. But I begin to think about this story. I know this is a familiar story where the Bible tells us, we find Philip, he was doing good, amen. He had a good revival going on there in Samaria, and amen, it was real good. I mean, he could have wrote back to the sword of the Lord about thousands getting saved and God a blessing and things going on real good. But then God said, hey, wait a minute. I got somewhere else for you to be. I got somewhere else for you to go. And somebody may have thought, well, there's not going to be big crowds there. There's not going to be a big singing group there and everything. What in the world am I going to do? But he wanted him to talk to one man. Ain't that right? Hey, I tell you what. It's not by groups that people are getting saved. They don't get saved by families. You're not saved because your dad's saved or your grandma or grandpa. You've got to get saved individually yourself. You've got to come to Jesus, praise God. So it's very important that he went to this one man. It's very important that he come to this man and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God was leading him to go. And boy, what a blessing. And like I said, I could start about anywhere. I could have went over there to Isaiah 53 and started there to preaching you, to you about I know who Jesus is and showed you about the biblical Jesus and what the Lord, what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find he was there, praise God. He had that scroll rolled out. And he had a good passage he was reading at. He was reading Isaiah 53 from the Scriptures. He was reading about the Lamb of God. He was reading about Jesus Christ. And their questions begin to come up in his mind. And when he meets Philip, and Philip begins to talk to him, he says, well, I was just kind of wondering who that's talking about there. I was kind of wondering if that was talking about Isaiah. I was kind of wondering if that was talking about some other prophet. Is it talking about some other man? And Philip said, boy, I'm so glad you asked. Amen. I'm so glad you asked. He could have asked any question about that scripture, couldn't he? But he said, who is that talking about? Who's it talking about right there? And Philip was glad to say, I want to introduce unto you the biblical Jesus. I want to introduce to you, I know who Jesus is, and I want to tell you about him right now. Ain't that good? Amen. He said he began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. In our text here, what a blessing. We see an introduction of Jesus Christ here. The Bible tells us in verse 34, the scripture tells us that the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and again began to, at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Praise God. And I tell you what, he got the message that day. Amen. Look down at verse 37. The Bible says they came to water, and the scripture says, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Like I said a while ago, you know, folks are taught a lot of things, but folks are taught a lot of false ideas and things. From their very childhood, they're taught a wrong idea about Jesus. They're taught maybe he was a good man. Maybe he was a good prophet. Maybe he was one of the better of the prophets. Maybe he was the best prophet. But if they're not taught the real biblical Jesus, they'll die and go to hell. They'll miss heaven if they're not taught. If you're not introduced about who Jesus is, and I'm glad this morning I know who Jesus is. I mean, Paul warned about this. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 11:4, he says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you've not received, or another gospel which you've not accepted, he said there's another spirit out there, there's another Jesus out there, there's another gospel out there. He preached to the church at Galatia, and he was when he came back to them, he was troubled that they were removed away from the gospel. The scripture says in Galatians 1:6, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. And then he said, well, which is not another. It's another gospel. Then he said, no, wait a minute, it's not another. He said, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, I want to talk to you about I know who Jesus is, and I want to start first of all by exactly what the eunuch said. After he got saved, he said, I believe that he is the Son of God. He said, I believe, he said, if you believe, he said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. First of all, I want to say, I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of God. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, as the angel began to talk to Mary there and began to tell that the Holy Ghost was going to come upon her, the scripture says in Luke 1:35, the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. I'm glad I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. The scripture tells us in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might believe. He said, this is my Son. You remember at the baptism, as work of Christ is being confirmed as he begins his earthly ministry. When John baptized him there in the water, the scripture says the Holy Ghost descended upon him as a dove. The scripture tells us there was a voice out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Wasn't the only time that happened. Up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we call it, when he takes the three, the inner circle there, Peter, James, and John, he takes them up there. And last Sunday we preached about Peter's brother. He didn't get to go, but he's pretty close, wasn't he? Amen. He had been the next in line. But Peter, James, and John went up there on the mountain, and the scripture says, while I was up there on the mountain, that God spoke down out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You say, well, some people don't believe that. Well, I don't care. God said it. Amen. And God even chose to say it in an audible voice. 2,000 years ago, he chose to say it down from heaven in an audible voice to whoever was around at the baptism that day, and then those that were on the Mount of Transfiguration that day. He said, this is my Son. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That's what the devil wants to do, you to continue to have a mystery in your mind and not understand it, not come to the knowledge of salvation. He says that great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. He said, I've finished the work that I came to do. Amen. Praise God on Calvary when he said, it is finished. The Son of God had completed the work that needed to be done for our salvation. The Son of God, and God looked down from heaven and said, he was pleased. He was well pleased in the sacrifice of his Son. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. He's the Son of God. Not only that, second of all, let me say, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the sacrifice. He's the sacrifice. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, there's a lot that said about the Old Testament economy in Hebrews, and it's kind of bringing you up and showing you how these things were a picture of things to come. That in the Old Testament was a pointing us to the cross of Calvary. What we have today is we're looking back to the cross of Calvary. What they had in that day was they were looking forward to Jesus coming. They were looking forward to the Son of God. They were looking forward to the last sacrifice, if you will. Boy, in today's Jewish, an Orthodox Jewish home, they'll come and they'll celebrate the Passover. But it ain't like they celebrated it on that dark night there in Egypt. It ain't the same. It ain't the same as it was in the temple sacrifices. It's not the same as it was in the days of Christ. They celebrate it today, and the only thing they can open up out of a little rag is a few dead, dry bones. They don't have a sacrifice that's brought. They don't bring a lamb. They don't shed its blood. Hey, they don't need to. You don't need to. You can look back to the Lamb of God. You can look back to the sacrifice that Jesus made. That's the reason, hey, his earthly ministry began when old John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. You say, preacher, why are you so excited this morning? I know who Jesus is. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, for the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Doesn't need to be sacrificed over and over again. You don't need to have a ritual that you come in and you believe that the Christ is being crucified once again, crucified afresh, and you drink of the wine and it becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. That's cannibalism. Amen. That's a cult. But listen, Scripture goes on to say, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. You say, what was they doing? It was just pushing them forward. Each year, it was pushing them forward another year. The next year would come up, and they'd have to do it again. Next year would come up, they would have to do it again because they were never completely taken care of. They were all covered. They were all covered. It always speaks of all of their sins being taken care of. For 1 year, it was pushed forward again, looking forward to that time that he would come once in the end of the world and give himself a sacrifice and take care of it once and for all. Hallelujah. Amen. Now don't get excited. Just more calm down. Look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Yeah, man. Bible says he finished it. He did the sacrifice. He went back up to heaven, and he sat down. And so, preacher, why is that so significant? Hey, I'm glad you asked. Hey, the high priest in the Old Testament never sat down. Amen. While he was doing the high priestly work, he couldn't sit down. Lord God, if he sat down, he'd be out of the will of God and he'd be laying dead. They'd put a rope around him. In fact, they did that. They'd put a rope around him, make sure, hey, and on the border of his garment, he would have a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate all the way around. And they could always hear him moving in there. He'd be busy taking the blood and sprinkling it over the mercy seat. He'd be doing all those things. And boy, he needed to make sure he was clean, he was right before he went in. But he was always busy moving and working in there. And that had to be done year after year after year until Jesus came.
Yeah. Amen.
Man, until Jesus came. And he finished the work, and now he can be seated at the right hand of the God the Father, and he still is today making intercession for you and for me. Hallelujah. I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. I know who Jesus is. He's the sacrifice. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, and what a beautiful picture this is. But over in John chapter 10 and verse 11, the Bible tells us there, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's what he said. Verse 15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Somebody says the Jews killed him. No. Somebody said the Romans killed him. The soldiers killed him. Hey, they did something they normally would go around and speed up the death of crucifixion because it was could be an agonizing death that sometimes would take days for the convicted criminal to die. But not in Jesus' case. He said he gave up the ghost. He said it is finished. He said, "In Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And when they come around, they would normally break the legs of some of the criminals and speed up the death. And they probably broke the legs, the men on both sides. But here Jesus Christ was, and he had already gave up the ghost. They took a spear and thrust it in his side. Forthwith came water and blood, the Bible says. He had already said, I lay down my life. No man's taking it from me. I'm laying down my life. That's that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I know who Jesus is this morning. He's the Son of God. He's a sacrifice. Not only that, and this kind of goes hand in hand with this one, but he's a substitute. Amen. You say, preacher, what you said a while ago, the Romans didn't kill him and the Jews didn't kill him. He gave his life. And well, why was he there? And who put him on the cross? We did. Our sins put him on the cross. Amen. That was the greatest weight that was on the cross. It wasn't the physical torture, and that was great, physically speaking. But the sins of the whole world, when it lay upon our Savior, was the darkest hours. In fact, God said, I'm going to turn out the lights, and nobody could see anything, and it was darkness on the face of the earth from noon till 3 o'clock. God chose to turn the lights out. Because he was our substitute. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered in the world, death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned in the garden, Adam sinned, and come short of the glory of God. And now the second Adam comes and takes his place. The Bible says in verse 18 of Romans 5, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Thank God he took our place on the cross of Calvary. The second Adam came. He took Adam's place. He took Barabbas' place. Barabbas, that was his cross. That cross wasn't even built for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was built for Barabbas. He was supposed to die that day for crimes that he had committed. Amen. He was the worst of the lot, too. Amen. It talks about the other two having different crimes, but it says that he was not only a murderer or insurrectionist. He had stirred up trouble with the government and everything. I mean, he was the worst of the three. And they said, hey, who would you like for us to release? Barabbas or Christ? And they said about Christ, they said, crucify him, release Barabbas, and crucify Christ. Took his place. He took Adam's place. He took your place, praise God, there on the cross of Calvary. He looked down through the annals of time, and while he was on the cross, you were on his mind. He took that sacrificial lamb's place. He was that perfect sacrifice, if you will. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he reviled not, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that justifies righteously. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, I said I was going to read a few verses in Hebrews, but over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was that perfect sacrifice. His own one, it was a perfect sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. Hebrews 10 and verse 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. You say, preacher, what happened? I told you a while ago. Didn't take them away. It just pushed them forward. It just pushed them to Jesus. It just kept bringing it up to Jesus Christ. And he's the one that could take it away. He's the one that could take the place of that perfect, that lamb that was out without spot and blemish, because he was a perfect Lamb of God. Amen. Chapter 9, verse 12, the scripture says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise God. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He's the sacrifice. He's the substitute. Amen. Do I need to go on and on? Let me give you one more. I could. I told you we could start anywhere with this message. We could start anywhere from Genesis to Revelations. We could talk to you about Jesus. But last of all, let me say, I know he's the Savior. Amen. He's the Savior. Jesus, in fact, the name Jesus means God our Savior, or salvation of God, or the salvation of God. Amen. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, I gave you a while ago, boy, what insight. Listen, what insight before he was born in the manger, as Gabriel began to tell Mary, like we said a while ago, Gabriel told Mary, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And Joseph, for a while there, was troubled, and he didn't know what to do. But God said, I tell you what, I'm going to send an angel by his way too. Amen. I'm going to talk to him in a dream, and I'm going to speak to him. And he spoke to him more than once. Amen. He spoke to him later, and he spoke to him about fleeing to Egypt, and he spoke to him about getting up out of Egypt. Amen. Joseph said, how many times these angels going to come around? Praise God. Just went to Mary once. Had to, I guess sometimes men are stubborn. But that was your chance, ladies. Say amen. It's over. I'm going on. But old Joseph was stubborn. Had to have that angel speak to him two or three times. But that first time he came, what a blessing. Scripture says in Matthew 1:21, it says, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus. It means God our Savior. Call his name Jesus. It means salvation of God, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. What a blessing. I like that song many years ago and talks about us calling him Jesus and us calling him Lord and everything. I believe they used it in the Christmas program this past year. What a blessing to think about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, my Savior, my Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the Savior. The Scripture says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. They say, preacher, I don't know. I didn't know I was lost. I didn't know I was in need. Well, you find out you're lost. You find out from the Scriptures you're lost. There's hope. Amen. Now you can get saved. Amen. You say, preacher, I just don't understand. I don't know. Well, thank God. You need to be introduced to Jesus, and he'll help you understand it better by and by, praise God. You need to be introduced to the real biblical Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the substitute. He's the sacrifice. He's the Son of God. Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation any other. There's none other name given among men, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby you must be saved. Because he's the Savior. He's the only Savior. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's come to save you. He's come to draw all men unto him. Oh, what a blessing to be introduced to Jesus. That's what salvation is all about. It's not about you getting a good case of the do-betters. It's not about religion. And it's not about turning over a new leaf. Somebody said turn over a new leaf, it's still the same old leaf. And you do it, you have to keep on doing it, don't you, I guess. But you know what you need is, you need to be introduced to Jesus. That's what the world needs. Praise God, the world needs Jesus. Like we said before, we talk about all the different ideologies and all the different things folks are taught. They just really need to be introduced to Jesus, though. That'll change their life if they find out who Jesus is. I'm glad I know this morning who Jesus is.